Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the City of Medicine, Durham, North Carolina, on this, the 19th day of May 2016. I'm Mike Wood, and I also have a co-host once again, Linda Van Smith. She is going to be on again tonight, and we also have a very special guest. Tonight's special guest is Greg Green. Now, he is the head football coach of the Durham Titans. Now, the Durham Titans have more than one particular age group, but we're going to talk about all of that. He's going to be here to talk about, you know, the great things they're doing down at with the Durham Titans at John Avery Boys and Girls Club right here in Durham, North Carolina. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, despite what you hear all over from Pillar to Post, there are great things that are happening here in Durham, North Carolina. And right now I'd like to bring on the line Linda Van Smith. How are you doing this evening?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Mike?
I am doing fine. Just the rain seems to be going away just a little bit. And like I say, the WD-40 is working on the joint, so I am feeling just fine. And I just want to say thank you so much for co-hosting last night also on the show. Great reviews, and you know we're going to continue this thing on because, like you say, you want to get into this business, and this is the way to do it. The only way to get in this business is to apply your trade in this business. So welcome once again to the Overtime Sports Show. So let's do this, Linda. Let's jump right in to talking to Coach Greg Green. Coach Green, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Oh, just fine. Good evening and welcome to the Overtime Sports Show. Thank you so much for appearing on the show this evening. Coach, let's start off by just explain a little bit to our audience about the Durham Titans, and really, you know, I feel like it's a great asset to the Durham community. I mean, you do such good work. You get kids off the street. You make sure they have something positive as far as role models, as far as the educational aspect, which we'll get into, because I think there's a wide misconception out there that it's all funds and games, as they like to say. But that's not necessarily the case. There's some work that has to be put in before they can enjoy, like I say, play on the field, go out to have fun. There's a lot of work that goes into it. But what does it mean? Do you feel like the Durham Titans mean to the Durham community?
Well, the program was started in 2010 when it actually came to the Boys and Girls Club. The reason it was started, it was for all the kids that couldn't afford the Pop Warner ball in town that was charging quite a bit of money. So it was really made for the have-nots and for those kids that were coming from those backgrounds that were full of struggle, full of strife. So that's who it was made for. I'm happy to say that it's grown. We still target the at-risk youth, the at-risk young man that's walking around the streets of Durham, that's kind of being left out and left behind, maybe thrown to the side, but we produce a good product. We make sure that they leave out a better young man, and you know they're ready to be productive citizens. That's the mission of the Boys and Girls Club.
Well, you know, I'm probably going to hit on a lot of nerves here, but that doesn't really bother me. You know how I am with Durham. The way it is, Durham has a lot of money. Durham has a lot of resources, especially among the black churches. And black organizations that always claim brother, brother, my brother. Why is it that you think that organizations such as yours, and there are other organizations in Durham, they're great organizations that work with kids too, why do we have to struggle so hard for the resources that are just an afterthought in some other communities?
I wish I knew the answer to that question. There seems to be enough to go around for everyone. There seems to be enough to go around for everybody to succeed and get their percentage of the whole pie. I wish I really knew the answer to that question. You know, I mean, it's always a struggle financially. I know it is for us. You know, we're always in need of some equipment. You know, North Carolina Central University has looked out for us. for quite some time with the use of their practice field and O'Kelly Riddick Stadium. You know, I'm a proud alum of North Carolina Central, so, you know, I hope that's a relationship that we can keep going. The kids love it. The parents love it. The River Church that's out on 54, you know, they've made donations. They helped us get to Florida last year to compete for a national title. You know, sadly, that's been the only church that's really reached out to us to help on the football side. So, you know, the River, they're doing some very good work over there. So I'm happy to say that they've helped. But as far as the rest of the community, you know, we've been backed a lot when it's time to go to Florida. You know, the community has really gotten behind us. So I'm glad to say that we've been on the right side of things. But we've also as a program been on the side where we didn't get as much support. So I'm glad things have gotten better. I think they can continue to grow. But, you know, where we are right now is a good place, and I hope it only gets better from here.
Yeah, I mean, I've just always wondered about that. It just seems like to me that there's so many resources in the community. Now, it's their money. They can do with it what they want to do. I mean, you know, if they choose not to do it, they choose not to do it. But also, I don't want to hear them talk about, I have to look out. It takes a village to raise a child. I have to look out for my fellow man. So I don't want to hear that come out of their mouth then, because, I mean, you know, they're not doing exactly what they're supposed to do. I mean, in Durham, there's just so much, and I really do appreciate the organizations that are helping and those who want to help, because before the interview is over, we're going to talk about how people can donate money to your organization, because I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you need to go to some of those games. You need to see the parental involvement. You need to see these kids look forward to this so much, just not the Durham Titans, but even the teams that they're playing, their opponents. It's almost like it's their relief. It's so much joy. And the John Avery Boys and Girls Club, I know that my daughter went to John Avery Boys and Girls Club, and till this day, right now, as a matter of fact, just a few minutes ago, she talks about that place with nothing but a smile on her face, because of the good work that you do down there, and it's represented through, you know, the good programs they have there, plus the kids that you have on your football field, and all of them are turning out to be great young men and women, because you have cheerleading too, you have everything, and y'all are teaching them such skills, and all I can do is, you know, it's just say good things about your program. That's all I can do. I mean, really, you guys are doing great, and you're in the forefront, you're leading it, you're leading the charge, you're throwing the blows. I know that there are some good days and some bad days, but when the good days start outweighing the bad days, it makes it worth it, you know, worth what you're doing. Now, talk about your national championship run. I know a year ago, not this year, you still went deep in the playoffs and didn't quite get the national championship, but you won everything else. But talk about that magical run to that national championship. How did that help your program and those kids?
Well, I'm happy to say that off that the national championship team, I know we'll get to the academics later, but we had 22 kids on that roster. We took 19 down to Florida. Everybody who was able to make the academic requirements, we took them down to Florida with us. So 19 out of the 22 traveled. And of those 19, I believe 13 of them played varsity football as freshmen and sophomores. So
wow.
Their first year of high school football, they ended up playing varsity, whether it was from jump. A lot of kids that went to Riverside and Jordan played varsity from day one. And we had some kids that went to Southern that also played varsity when they got there. But we had a few that started off on JV and got bumped up once the playoff run started. But, I mean, just as a program, it definitely helped us. Just get some recognition in the community. That's when people started viewing us as more than just something that was thrown together as a football program. They saw that we were a family. They saw that we had good coaches. They saw that we were putting forth our best foot and really trying to provide a home for these young men to learn how to be young men. I really feel like only a man can teach a young can teach a boy how to be a man, because, you know, there's a lot of great single mothers out there, but they've never been men themselves. So it's, we know firsthand. You know, I have a young daughter, and when she grows up, there's nothing I can tell her about being a 14-year-old girl, because I've never been one. So I feel good about me, my coaching staff, and every age group that we have really teaching these young men to deal with adversity, to deal with the struggles in life, and still come out on top, no matter what their scoreboard says. We've just been fortunate enough to have the scoreboard go our way a lot of the time.
You're absolutely right. You know, when my son, you know, he's grown now, but when he was growing up, you know, me and him would talk, I got this, right? Then when I had a little girl and she'd ask me a question, all I could say was, let's go talk to your mama, because nothing I can do to help you out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I could answer it to a certain degree, but you're absolutely right. There's only a certain – I can only go to a certain place, and then it's time for the mama to take over. I'm not going to go there. But, Linda, you're an educator, and one good thing that they do there at John Avery Boys and Girls Club, as well as the Durham Titans, is – they stress emphasis on education. You don't get to just come in. It's not just a daycare. You have to come in. You have to do your work. You have to meet certain requirements, and then you're allowed to participate and play and everything else. It's just not something, as Coach Green said, just thrown together. There's a process. There's a method to the madness, so to speak, and it is to turn them into good academic, you know, students in school, not just – you know, if you come in there and you're making D's, by the time you leave out of there, you're going to be making B's, I guarantee you, because they're going to work with you. So, Linda, can you just tell us about the academic part? Like I said, you're a teacher, you know. How important is it for academics to be tied into sports, so the incentive for them to do good is to make good grades?
Yeah, I think academics is very important.
I'm sorry.
And I was talking about the academic piece, you know, being an eighth grade school teacher. I think, you know, academics plays an important role, because students like academics. They want to play a sport, and a lot of times they know that if they don't do the work and don't get the grades, then they won't be able to participate. So that's an incentive for them, you know. And we find also that once the season is over, whether it be basketball, football, then they tend to go into a slump, so to speak. And so, you know, we try to help students find something else that will inspire them so they can continue to make the grades. I don't know, you know, what it is. You know, they need to realize that they need to keep their grades up. We do find that that happens a lot of times. So, Coach Green, what inspired you to do this job, the great job that you're doing?
Well, as far as inspiration, I never thought that I would be working with kids, let alone coaching. I had a friend that passed away when I was in North Carolina Central. He passed away 3 weeks before his graduation. He wanted to be a teacher. At the time, he was working at a group home, and upon his death, I literally took his place at that group home. And at the same time, I got a summer job working here at the Boys and Girls Club. And because he never got that chance to work with youth, I made that a mission for myself. Since he never got the chance, I was going to every day wake up and make the impact that he couldn't anymore. So in terms of pushing these young men, you know, it's a personal thing for me, because I don't want them to run into a situation that my friend did. I don't want them to feel what I felt when I had to look into my friend's eyes, his mother's eyes, at his funeral. You know, that's my motivation. And, you know, I've seen things growing up, and I know these kids see things that I wouldn't even think of. So, I mean, I really feel like this program, not only Durham Titans, but the Boys and Girls Club itself, really changes lives. You know, we have three major pillars here, one being academic success, one being character and leadership, and the last being healthy lifestyles. So, you know, it's three-pronged, and we really make sure that these kids see every bit of it. So we practice 3 days a week during the season, and on one of those off nights, on one of the off nights during the season, we're going to have tutoring. Right now we have kids upstairs It's about 25 kids upstairs right now in EOG prep getting ready for the end of grade testing period. So, you know, we really want to make sure that these kids are prepared. You know, just the way the school system is going, you know, the teachers' hands are tied behind their back. Teachers are doing the best they can with what they're given. And, you know, the kids are really suffering because the teachers can't really put forth the effort that they really want to. And so, we're just doing our part, you know, because we don't have the same red tape that the dedicated teachers do. So, you know, we try to have programs like this that afford the kids the opportunity to come in and get a leg up academically.
Sounds great.
Well, let me ask you a question. Now, if somebody wants to get their kid involved in this program, how do they go about doing that? Who would they contact? What would they do? Things like that.
Okay. As far as getting involved with the Boys and Girls Club, you can visit our website, which is Durham BGC. That's B as in boy, G as in girl, C as in club.org, DurhamBGC.org. And on there, you can find our registration papers. You can just print those off. It's only $10 per school year. There are no extra fees. We provide transportation depending on which school the child goes to. You know, and that transportation is free. So it's only $10 for the school year. And as far as playing football for the Durham Titans, the fee has actually gone up this year. It's $130. That's equipment included, everything except cleats. If the parents can provide paperwork stating that the child receives reduced or free lunch, reduced lunch drops the price down to $65, and free lunch gets the kid a full scholarship. You know, it's really based on need, and those scholarships are limited, but we find it very important to offer those scholarship opportunities. You can also register online at DurhamTitans.com. Again, that's DurhamTitans.com, and you'll see all the registration papers on there as well. And as far as making donations, there's a tab for that as well. So, you know, we have Titan apparel on there. We have our off-season workout schedule. We have a calendar. So you can see upcoming events, all of those things. So you can find all of that at DurhamTitans.com.
And another question I have, too, that I really wonder about is, and I know there is some, it has to be, anything that's good, you're going to find resistance to. I don't care what it is. It could be, you know, you're doing great work at Johnny Boys and Girls Club, but somebody somewhere inevitably is going to find some reason to be negative. How much negativity do you find in the community, especially if your kids are playing at John Avery Boys and Girls Club? They're normally not playing at like a middle school football team. And the way your kids are, a lot of the talent is there with the Durham Titans and not necessarily within these middle schools. What kind of pushback do you get from those schools or different individuals within those schools?
Well, we get quite a bit. A lot of it comes from just ignorance of the situation. A lot of the coaches from the middle schools believe that we don't have any academic standards here. Well, again, we don't have the same red tape that the schools have, where the kid needs to meet a certain GPA to begin playing. We don't require a GPA to begin playing. We'll accept any kid where they are academically, but that child is required to work, and they are required to make certain improvements to their grades. Another area of ignorance is, you know, thinking that this is little league ball. I know for the age group that myself and Coach DJ David Fretwell, my defensive coordinator, the age group that we coach middle school kids, and it's 14 and under. Primarily middle school, you get some younger ninth graders, but everybody's around that same age. And one thing we can almost guarantee, we got an 85% success rate with it. If you play for the Durham Titans at 14U, you will never touch JV football. So you'll go straight to varsity. So you know, I mean, I think everything serves its purpose. I wouldn't describe our 14 and under age group as developmental at all. We teach and we, you know, we mold the players into what they need to be to succeed at the next level. We try to place them in positions that they can one day be recruited and start at the next level. I mean, but at the end of the day, you know, the product speaks for itself. Again, off that national championship team, 13 out of 19 kids that travel end up playing varsity football as first-year high school players. And, you know, numbers don't lie. So.
Yeah, I tell you, one thing I noticed through watching your games is, and one thing I've talked to you about that I appreciate being an old football player and a defensive coordinator myself is your teams are so physical. I mean, I have seen you, your teams literally make another team go, I don't think I want to go back out there anymore. I mean, they are so physical. They hit so hard. That's why I can see that they move right past JV level, because by the time that they do leave your program, they're ready to chew raw meat. So, and I've seen, you know, I can just tell, especially one kid, and I keep coming back to him, because when he was just starting out with you guys, I happened to talk to his mother. She was asking me some questions about his equipment. And it was a kid, I don't know his real name, but his nickname is Florida. And I told, and I remember telling you, I said, that young man right now, if he keeps his nose clean, if he does what he's supposed to do, you're going to see him on Sunday somewhere. And now I understand he's over at what, Southern Durham, tearing him up over there now, because he tore everything up in your league.
Right. Yeah.
What is the regiment?
What
is the regiment for the students? The guys that are, do they work out, like, after they do their academic piece? Is there a time when they, you know, work out? Is that why they're, you know, how they get really physical? I mean, what is your regimen?
Well, there's a lot of running that I can say. They hate to see Coach DJ coming for those first 3 weeks of practice whenever, you know, when kids are getting acclimated to the pads and things. But honestly, it's just a standard that's set. If you want to be successful at this game of football, you have to be physical.
Yes.
You know, we make sure we take the proper steps to be safe. You know, all our coaches are certified through USA Football. We take the training through the Seahawks tackling, as well as the CDC to be familiar with concussions. So, you know, we make sure that we're trained well, but at the end of the day, if you want to be successful in this game, you're going to have to put a pad on somebody. And, you know, we're all about, you know, we have a saying, you know, make the other team make a business decision. So, if you slam your finger in a car door, the next time you're going to make sure that you don't slam your finger in the car door. So, you know, if you make a tackle, you make sure you mean it every single time. And it's, at that point, it's just a battle of will. Who wants it more? You know, can you endure? Can you endure this contact that I'm bringing you, or are you gonna fold? You know, and it's, you know, football is a game of life. How many times can you be let down? How many times can you be lied to? How many times can you, you know, just, you know, be disappointed over the course of your life and still keep coming back? Life isn't about. It's not about success. It's about overcoming. You know, if everything went your way, then it wouldn't be called success.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's just, I feel like our boys bring so much to the table, and they hit so hard. It's like you said, Mr. Wood, you know, it's a relief for these kids. They go through so much. You know, I've had kids, you know, look me in my eye, and I say, you know, make sure you get you a good night's sleep tonight before the game, you know. He said, Coach, I'll do my best. I don't have a bed. And I said, well, where do you sleep? And so he said, well, you know, I watch Ray Lewis all the time, and he said when his dad left that he would do push-ups until the pain in his arms overtook the pain in his heart, and then he would go to sleep. He said, so I do push-ups every night until I go to sleep, and then I wake up and I shower in the morning. You know, so, I mean, when you take that kind of pain, that kind of aggression, and now you get to go play this game that's fun for everybody, and it's going to bring you so many opportunities. You know, And that, you know, that's the starting running back at Riverside High School right now, DeAnthony Bright. So, you know, just finished up his freshman campaign, third in the state among freshmen in rushing. So it's, you know, you do well based on the what's pushing you. If you're only out there for stats, if you're only out there for yourself, you know, then it's always going to be something that you're going to run into that's bigger and better than just you. But if you're doing it for mom, you're doing it for your little brother and sister, you're doing it to get your family out of the situation, then those things that will break a normal person aren't going to break you because you have a greater purpose for doing what mm-hmm. you do.
Mm-hmm. That's the, you know, when you talk to professional football players, I've talked to a few in my time, that's the story I used to hear from them all the time. And the reason why they're playing, you look at these guys, I swear, at the time, I mean, they were no bigger than me. I mean, they weren't muscle-bound freaks. They were just average-looking guys. And you knew they were strong, but they had a drive inside them. Their engine continued to run because, like you said, I don't want to have to sit down on the floor and eat anymore. I want to have a table. I want to have a chair. I want to have an education. And if football can get me there, that's my driving engine that I won't ever run out of gas using. And they get there because of mental toughness. And that's one thing I've noticed about the kids that come to Titans is that mental toughness that takes them, like you said, through a bunch of situations. That's why I say it's one of the greatest programs around that we really need to support. But quickly, let me ask you a question. Now, I know that in Pop Warner football, they have now said we're not going to do any more kickoffs because of the danger of concussions. Well, you know, like I know, you played the game. I played back in the old days. We used to call it getting our bell rung. Okay, I guess that's happened to me about 50 times. I mean, in one game, I know it happened about 6 times. So, you just get your bell rung, you get an ammonia capsule, you pop it, you sniff it, it wakes you up, you go back doing what you're doing. Do you think that in the league that you're playing in, because you're playing a little bit different league than Pop Warner, will they ever get away from the kickoff? And do you think it's important to keep the kickoffs and special teams? Because that's really how some guys do make a living, is on special teams. But do you think that it will, your league will eventually adopt that? And do you think it will also be adopted as high up as the professional level?
No, I don't think it'll reach our league. Pop Warner is fighting a pretty big lawsuit where there was a child that died for not being properly taught, and the play that he was injured on was a regular play from scrimmage. It wasn't even a kickoff. Once they had to pay out their lawsuit money, a couple of days later came the kickoff change. So mm-hmm. I mean, I think, you know, I don't think it was a coincidence. You know, I think they're trying to cover themselves. You say that you're trying to be safer, you know, by taking the kickoff out. But at the same time, you know, the age groups that they took it out, that's not where the collisions happen. The collisions happen with the older kids. So if you were really trying to be safe, you take it out for the older kids. Not only that, but a couple of days after they took the kickoff out, they introduced unlimited weight age groups. So that means that a smaller kid will be on the field with a bigger kid. So if you're really trying to be safe and protect the kids, then why aren't you doing it all the way around? You know,
right.
We play AYF, we play American Youth Football, and it's football all the way around, everything. The only age group that does not kick off is Tiny Mike. Those are 6 and 7 year olds. So, I mean, that's about it. If we play real football and we train our kids the right way to do everything, you know, and if you ask every high school coach in America, do they agree with kickoff being taken out? I assure you they're going to say no, because they want kids that know what they're doing by the time they show up. And I think that's where we as a program with Durham Titans, we hang our hat. When you leave us and you get to that high school program, they know defensively, you know what cover 2, you know cover 3, you know man, you know how to disguise zones, you know how to blitz, you know how to time the snap, you know how to get pre-snap reads, you know how to block both gap and zone scheme, you know how to get behind your pads, keep your feet moving, you know all the fundamentals of football that are going to make you successful and make your team better all around at the next level. So you know, I don't think it will go past Pop Warner. Quite honestly, Pop Warner is dying out, including in this area. So, I mean, Pop Warner is just on the way out. A lot of teams that have been Pop Warner traditionally have left Pop Warner, and now they're AYF. So AYF is the new Pop Warner, so to speak, in terms of popularity and competition level. We travel to Florida for national championships as well, but we do it for about $600 to $700 less per child. So AYF is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, because one thing I've noticed through coaching, I coached it for 20 years. I played it for I don't know how long until I can't walk now. But the bottom line is this, and you know this as a coach and as a player. If you continue to tell an athlete, don't hurt yourself, what's the first thing that's going to happen? You're going to hurt yourself. But if you go out there and you play wide open, you remember we used to always have to play wide open. Nobody ever, these tremendous hits you see in the NFL where guys run together like two Brahma bulls, they get up laughing about it. Mm-hmm. The only time somebody gets hurt is when one of them is not going full speed, and that's when somebody gets hurt. But if you teach your kid, like you said, the proper techniques, always go at full speed, always keep that pad level, always keep the foot moving. We should say energy and energy. Just use that energy and lift on defense, and you'll be fine. I don't agree with taking kickoffs out because football is football. It's an inherently dangerous game. I'm sorry. When you sign up, you know you can get hurt. That's why they call it football. If you don't want to get hurt, you can play in a band. I mean, as simple as that. But anyway, Coach, thank you so much for appearing on the Overtime Sports Show this evening. It's really been enlightening to listen to such a great program as yours, and I say it time and time again, and I'll keep on talking about it till people get sick of hearing me talk about it, how good that program is, because you turn out quality kids. There are a lot of successes. There are a few misses, but you have more successes than you have misses. And I just want to say thank you so much for what you and the other coaches at John Avery Boys and Girls Club does, those parents do, because they get out there and they work. I've never seen people work together so much on those grills out there and, selling those hot dogs and stuff and just being involved with their kids. And everything runs so smooth, looks like on a game day. I know it's not always as smooth as it looks, but it is really an organization that runs like clockwork. So I just want to say thank you for all that you do.
Yeah, definitely, and thank you. Definitely thank you for having me back on here. It's great to have a supporter like you in the community that allows me and the program just to get our voice out and kind of cast our net, a larger net, to get more kids, to reach more kids. I just want to let you know that, it's definitely appreciated. And for all the rest of the programs out there, there's enough to go around for everybody, and we want to make sure that we work together because it's all about these kids and it's all about the community, making Durham a better and safer place. So as many kids as we can reach, as many kids as we can change lives for, that's why we do it. And it's not about how much money your program brings in. So stop being all about the registration fees. Stop being about sign up as many kids as possible just to pad the bank accounts. Are you changing kids' lives? It's about the impact. That's what it's about. So, that's our philosophy.
You are absolutely right, Coach. Go ahead, Linda.
I was going to say, I just want to thank you again, Coach Green, because it appears that you are doing a tremendous job with the students and, being an educator. That's what we try to instill in students, to do their best at all times. And I know, teachers don't have a lot of time. Their schedules are so tight now that they don't have time to teach those social skills. And I know that's what I try to do in my Scholars Academy plan. We try to teach those social skills to the students, because we know that, once they, and I teach eighth grade, and once they go to high school and beyond, we want them to have those social life skills. So we thank you so much for trying to instill those important values in those students. That's great. So I want to thank you for that.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Coach, until next time, because you'll be back on again. And this year, maybe the old legs are working. I can get out there a little bit more than I did last year. But I will definitely be at some of the games if I'm not off gallivanting somewhere doing volleyball or something. But I'll be at some of those games. And I really, really enjoy being there, being in that atmosphere, because it's one of just it's family. It's family. That's exactly what
Absolutely.
It is. It is family, and that's what makes it work so well. Well, thank you so much, Coach, and we'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, Linda. Well, another show down. As you can see, that's it really is. It's a wonderful program here in Durham that has really been working, and I really love the program. It's really – I can't talk enough about it. There's also another program here in Durham that we'll get Pat Jenkins on called the Long Ball Baseball Program that is similar to the Durham Titans. They have an academic piece to it. They also, you know, they play baseball because, you know, inner-city kids, you know, black kids, Hispanic kids, most of them, they don't like baseball because baseball is a slow game. But she brings together a whole bunch of kids, and they come in, they learn the game of baseball. She brings in professional players. She brings in, you know, good coaches that teach them how to play baseball.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's a wonderful program. And, you know, there are good things happening here in Durham. You don't hear about it much in the papers. All you see, you turn on the news, somebody gets shot in a drive-by. But in real life, Durham is not a bad city. It got a lot of good things going. So that's going to do it tonight for the Overtime Sports Show. Once again, Linda, thank you for being a co-host tonight. Now, coming up on Monday night, we have John Dale. He is a sports writer for the Winston-Salem Journal, of course, out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and he's been covering a Winston-Salem State University sports for well over 20 years. He's going to be on Tuesday night. We're going to have Vanessa Taylor, the head women's basketball coach at North Carolina Central University. She's going to be on. And Wednesday night, well, I'm going to leave that to your imagination. We're going to have a special guest, a big-time special guest, right here on the Overtime Sports Show. So until next week, and we won't be on tomorrow, but we will be back on Monday. So until Monday, take it easy, be careful out there, and I'll talk at you then.